Hello, Jean.
Hi, Becky.
Welcome back to Love and Lead Parenting. I am excited about our topic today. It is kids with unique needs, and I know that's one you're going to be able to really speak into, Jean.
Yes, being the parent of children with special needs, they're very unique.
Yes. So I'm just going to remind us and our listeners that this is in our theme of an invitation to faithfulness. And I love that that's the soil we're going to speak from, reassuring to begin by remembering God's faithfulness. And that for us, it's really an invitation to be faithful, not perfect, not have it
Right.
all figured out, but to be faithful. And I wanted to say, well, we've named it intentionally unique needs because while that includes children of special needs, we are going to open up the topic a little wider. And that could be needs from maybe a medical diagnosis or a early childhood trauma, etc. Just wanting to open up the topic to include not only special needs, but just re recognizing that there are kids with unique needs. And I'm going to read a poem called Welcome to Holland. It's by Emily Pearl Kingsley. It is going to refer to a child with disability, but I'm going to go ahead and change that one little section of the poem to just say our unique children. And I'm just going to invite us all to enter into this for a moment as we open up our topic. It says, I am often asked to describe the experience of raising a child with unique needs, to try to help people who have not shared that unique experience to understand it, to imagine how it would feel. And it's like this. When you're going to have a baby, it's like planning a fabulous vacation trip to Italy. You buy a bunch of guidebooks, you make your wonderful plans, the Colosseum, the Michelangelo David, the gondolas in Venice. You may learn some handy phrases in Italian. It's all very exciting. And after months of eager anticipation, the day finally arrives. You pack your bags and off you go. Several hours later, the plane lands and the flight attendant comes in and says, Welcome to Holland. Holland, you say? What do you mean, Holland? I signed up for Italy. I'm supposed to be in Italy. All of my life, I've dreamed of going to Italy. But there's been a change in the flight plan. They've landed you in Holland, and there you must stay. The important thing is that they haven't taken you to a horrible, disgusting, filthy place full of pestilence, famine, and disease. It's just a different place. So you must go out and buy new guidebooks, and you must learn a whole new language, and you will meet a whole new group of people you would never have met. It's just a different place. It's slower paced than Italy, less flashy than Italy. But after you've been there a while and you catch your breath, you look around, you begin to notice that Holland has windmills and Hollis has tulips. Holland even has Rembrandts. Everyone you know is busy coming and going from Italy, and they're all bragging about what a wonderful time they had there. And for the rest of your life, you will say, Yes, that's where I was supposed to go. That's what I had planned. And the pain of that will never, ever, ever, ever go away because the loss of that dream is a very, very significant loss. But if you spend your life mourning the fact that you didn't get to Italy, you may never be free to enjoy the very special, the very lovely things about Holland.
Wow, that's very thought-provoking, isn't it?
It is, and it touches on what I've often heard you say in parenting, what are our expectations?
Mm-hmm.
And this really cuts through even like realistic expectations, right? For most of us, that things would be, quote, what we perceive as normal. When we have a unique child, unique circumstances, it really is a reorientation.
It is. And again, I just want to reiterate the reason why we're putting this topic in an invitation to faithfulness is we really can trust God to be faithful, to be with us, mm-hmm. no matter what situation or circumstances we find ourselves or our families in. I mean, it's such a precious realization that God is aware of, to use the imagery from the poem, how we feel about landing in Holland instead of Italy. So it's a precious thing. Our expectation is always for everything to go right and everything to be perfect and to adhere to some sort of what we define as normal.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not the same way God sees hardly anything.
Right.
He sees things differently. He has the broader perspective. He's got the bigger good in mind all the time.
Yeah. The other thing I hear you often say, and a first question I think we need to answer is, who does God then say our children are? Can you talk to us about that? Why do we need to start with who God sees our children as?
It's so important. I mean, too many times as humans, we are going to be labeling people or judging people based on their appearance. Oh, that's a short person, or that's a person with a cleft palate, or that's somebody with Down syndrome. Just these things that we can actually see about them makes us make a judgment, whether it's conscious or subconscious. But when we can take the time to ask God who he says our children are, I don't believe he ever starts there. He starts with the things that are important. Oh, this is a loving person, or this is somebody who's had a rough deal, maybe in the area of abuse or neglect, and they're a frightened person, or they're a timid person and they need some more encouragement, or I've given this person the great ability for being loving or being friendly or being artistic, whatever it is. There is a treasure inside every single human being, because every one of us was made in his image. Yeah. And we need to work really hard to partner with God in order to find the positive about no matter what unique need our kid has, find the positive things that God has placed in them, and then work to draw those things out of them.
Right. Which was that idea of Holland, which you thought you were going to mean Italy, and getting to that, like, oh, to that place where you can notice what, like you said, the beauty, the gifts that were given, that it's not a less than, it's
right,
a different from experience.
And I want to say too, that no matter what is going on with your child with unique needs, that God is big enough to be with you in all of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he wants to enlarge our capacity. Every one of us has had that opportunity. I mean, we all have to have that as parents. We have to have our capacity be enlarged to be patient and to have realistic expectations and to be loving and all those things, but even more so when it's a child with unique needs.
Mm-hmm.
I remember my personal story is so different from most people's, in that we chose our kids with special needs. We set out specifically to adopt them. And very different in that when I was pregnant with our son that we gave birth to, I don't know why, this is just something God put in me, but I kind of felt like I would probably give birth to a child with special needs, some kind of maybe birth defect or something, because a certain percentage of kids are born that way. And I honestly didn't care, which is, I don't know where that came from. That was just something God planted in me. And so when he was born, what everybody would say, normal, that was surprising to me. That was almost my Holland in a way. Mm-hmm. In the opposite way. And so maybe that was part of the reason why God led us to adopt, right, specifically bring kids with special needs into our home. But even though it was a choice, I know that we experienced so many of the same things that parents who are surprised by a child with unique needs had to deal with. I mean, we all have expectations and dreams for our children and for our parenting, what kind of parent we're going to be. And those things have to be readjusted. And there's a little grief that needs to be felt over them. Mm-hmm. Kind of lose the hopes and dreams that you had for your child and not getting to have the parenting experience that you had imagined.
Mm-hmm.
And even just the constant reminders of what your child is going to miss out on.
Right.
There's just all these little griefs that happen. And if we don't allow ourselves to feel them, or if we're not aware of them, they're going to build up. And as with any kind of negative emotion, there's negative reactions about that. It could be some anxiety or depression in you as a parent, or even some physical ailments that if you're not acknowledging it, or you become isolated from all other people because you're feeling what you're feeling without sharing it with anyone. So again, we're just so incredibly blessed that God is faithful for us as we can acknowledge any of those feelings.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I want to talk just a moment, because I think that is the one part of just understanding what seems like, oh, you know, a child going to a friend's birthday party, what might seem like a simple thing can just not be very simple if you have a child with special mm-hmm. needs or unique needs, those everyday type of things. And I think it's easy to either slip into like avoiding situations or time, it's just hard and not knowing, mm-hmm. or that like overtaking, you know, protecting the child too much, or treating them like they're normal. I guess what I'm trying to get to is we tend to swing to extremes. How do you even begin to like, okay, embrace, I have a child with unique needs. How do I find what they can do and what they can't, and discerning that as they grow up?
That's such a good question and an important question. And I want to start with that question is as good and as important when we're thinking of what would maybe be considered more normal children without those unique needs. We
gotcha.
Still need to ask that question, because I feel like parents tend to fall on one side of the spectrum or the other, and there's not very many in the middle. They're either so lenient and just expect their child, whether with unique needs or not, to be able to function and deal with things and know how to navigate life without much help. And then there's the other side of the spectrum where no matter what your child's mm-hmm. needs are, they think, oh, I have to be there every step of the way. I have to make the world a safe mm-hmm. place for them every moment of their lives. Whether, mm-hmm. as I said, no matter where your child lands in the whole vast possibilities of children, mm-hmm. but especially so with unique needs, you're not going to be able to be with them. This is such a tricky thing, because I really feel strongly about all children is the same answer. We can't protect them every moment of their lives. We have to, our job as parents is to prepare our children, wherever they are on the spectrum, to become functional adults as much as they possibly can. That's the goal of parenthood. And so it really does take partnering with God's faithfulness in our lives. How is he leading us? How is he preparing us to run the world with him? You know, as so many theologians talk about, God is trying to help us humans be trusted with running the world with him. Dallas Willard especially comes to mind with that idea. So we as parents need to do that too for our kids. And since I had kids, both what would be considered normal, which I hate using that word, but for the sake of making it simple, and the ones with unique needs, my goal is always the same, finding out their potential and then helping them get to that place. And so some kids, it's going to take longer for them to feel comfortable in the world. And so we need to give them and be ready to give them a little bit more help. I know so many parents right now of those adolescent children, those late teens, even early 20s, those kids are really having a hard time. It's like this failure to launch generation. They're having a hard time growing up. And instead of getting frustrated, I encourage parents who talk to me about, you need to help find out where the, help your child find out where the holdups are. Where are they lacking that ability to be on their own, that security, that life can be lived successfully? Where are they missing that? And then help them fill in those gaps, fill in those places. The truth is, all of our kids are going to have gaps somewhere because none of us are perfect parents, but God is faithful and we can do it with his help. I think I've gotten off your topic, but I think it's the same for any child with any need.
Right.
Whether it's anxiety and depression, or if it's more of a physical challenge or a mental challenge, a severe disease, all of them need help becoming the men and women God intends for them to be.
Right, right. Sometimes, and I'm going to invite you to speak into this, it's when there is a clear disability or need that's evident, it's almost like you have to adapt. There are, you know, it just seems evident that that needs to happen. And then there are other unique needs that you might have in children that are not quite as evident. Sometimes that can be challenging because matching up our expectations can be more when it's not as obvious or evident.
Right.
Create that challenge. Can you speak a little bit into that?
Yeah, I think that, again, I'll kind of go from my parenting experience. The two children that we knew what their physical and mental challenges were, we tried to have our expectations for them be accurate. Like, we never thought, well, we need to help them get a job that's going to take care of all of their financial needs, and they'll get married and they'll have an apartment or whatever it is, two kids in a car by the time they're 30. We knew that wasn't accurate. And so we adjusted for them. But one of our children who had no obvious challenge physically or mentally, we didn't find out until probably, as soon as he hit his preteen age, that he really had some significant issues that we were unaware of. And it really did. It was just a long process, and I'll say that we're not quite through it yet. Helping him come to grips with living his own life rather than looking back at mistakes that his biological parents made with substance abuse, like he was always kind of blaming it, any problem he had, on those issues before he was born. And so having to have correct expectations for him, we really did have to adjust. We were ready for the physical and mental challenges of our first two children we adopted, but this one, they were unseen. And so it did take us a long time to try to figure out what would be the most helpful for him. And I would say it wasn't more frustrating, but it was frustrating in a different way. It's tiring in a different way. The constant trying to figure it out. His particular diagnosis was fetal alcohol effect, not the, if you're familiar with FAS, there's different characteristics, and his wasn't that severe. So we kind of lived life thinking we can have the same expectations for him as we did the child that was born to us. And it became obvious that it wasn't. And so just the hit and miss, the trial and error, the giving him some space, giving us some space, giving us the benefit of the doubt in, okay, we missed it there, but we're gonna try again here. And I have to say, sometimes our worst fear as parents is our children getting into legal problems. And that particular son was arrested actually on his 17th birthday. And I thought that was probably the worst thing that could ever happen to us as a family. But on this side of it, realizing that God was still faithful to love him and to lead him during that time, that's when he started following Jesus. And for us to see, okay, we can still look for the positives in this particular child, even though it's kind of harder to see. And God has restored our relationship with him. So many good things have happened from a point where I thought it was the worst thing ever.
Sure.
And sure. Again, I'm not sure if I'm answering the question. I'm just kind of musing about the experiences we had. You know, we just worry so much of whether we're doing the right thing or doing enough for our children, or what do we do if we get it wrong? Well, we will get it wrong sometimes, and we try not to focus on that. We can ask forgiveness, and we can ask God to lead us and show us the things that we did right, and try not to get too bogged down in guilt or fear for any of our children.
Sure. No, that's so good, because I think there is, we can put a lot of pressure on ourselves that, like, if we do it right or we put together the right resources and support, you know, that underneath part of us that just still looks for control in chaotic places can be kind of tormenting. Especially if you have a child with unique needs, and how to come to peace with that. That relates to all parents, but especially those that I think you are going through the unique needs. One thing I want you to touch on a little bit too is that process of, you know, you try this, you try that, you're trying to uncover things. Well, it wasn't that, that didn't work. Like, can you speak a bit into that for a parent today who may feel like they're right in the middle of that spot, still not fully having the clarity they wish they really had for their child?
Yeah. One of the most important things, I think, for parents in a situation like that is to just be self-assured in being an advocate for your child. Whether it's with the schools or whether it's with doctors or whether it's with any kind of social service agency, keep asking questions, keep asking questions. But I have to say, there comes a point where you need to believe what the experts are saying. I know of a family that was just having some issues with their late teenage boy who was just showing signs of severe anxiety and depression. And they took him to many different places. And all of those professionals said, try meds, put him on some medication to help him. And those parents just did not want to do that. And I thought, they're trying to get help. They're trying to do the right thing.
Sure.
But they didn't then do what the professional
recommended.
Yeah. So yes, get as much help and support as you can, but then really try some of those things out. I think one of the most beneficial places for support and information for parents is from other parents. with children with unique needs. So try to find, you know, it's so easy on the internet to find groups of people who are going through the same thing you are. All kids are different. There'll be different things, but I just know that I always felt encouraged when I could talk to other parents who could understand exactly what I was saying. Because parents of children with unique needs are often so exhausted. Right. It's like we sometimes feel like we're the only ones who can do anything for our kids. We have to be there every minute, and we have to be the ones who do this and that. Mm-hmm. It's like we have this, well, I'll say what it is, that Messiah complex, that it must have been something wrong that we did when we were pregnant that made our child have this issue, or we didn't take care of them well when they were little, and so this happened, and then we think we also have to fix it. And if anybody is listening who has that feeling, I say, be free. You don't have to carry that around anymore. God can relieve you of that burden. And if you're not taking care of yourself, you're not going to be able to take care of your children.
Yeah, that's exactly where I wanted to go next. I've realized in parenting and all of life, whenever I hit the hardest spots, my pain points, it's often being able to look and ask God, like, how are you at work in me? Mm-hmm. And being able to receive the support, the love, and the leadership I need in that season, rather than trying to control, you know, outside situations or my children more in that hard season, it often has turned, what do I need right now? So
what, important.
What do we need as parents when it's hard and it's painful? Can you speak into, like, just what should we be thinking about?
Oh, so many things. I think one of the most important things we should think about is how we're actually doing, taking a self-check, rather than how do I want people to perceive I'm doing? Mm-hmm. I mean, I had to work through that since I chose all by myself, an act of my will, though I believe I was doing what God called me to do, I chose the difficult parenting I had to go through. And I felt like since I willingly went into it, I had no right to ever complain. Mm. I had no right to ask for help from people. Mm-hmm. I made that choice. Mm-hmm. And that's erroneous thinking. And I think so many of us, parents of children with unique needs, again, the spectrum is one end or the other. We either think we can do it all ourselves and we don't admit to feeling tired, or we kind of give in and want everyone else to do for us. We kind of play the victim. And neither place is healthy for us. I think we need to take an accurate view of how we're feeling and get the help and support from all the many places that we can, whether it's our church or our neighbors or our families or the social groups online that I mentioned, or asking a social worker at your child's school where you can get help. It's out there. We just have to be willing to look for it and have to be willing to ask for it.
Yes. And I think what you highlight here too is I've often heard we can, when we're feeling that way, we can look as a way of self-comfort. If we could look maybe at someone we would say has it, quote, worse than us. And so then we try to shape ourselves up, like, well, come on, you know, your situation is not as bad as their situation. And like, you need to be, you know, better about all this. And I found that really doesn't work either.
No.
Like being able that God loves us right where we are. Like you said, an accurate view. And if it's hard, it's hard. It may, you know, it's your hard.
Right.
And he wants to meet us, you know, and love and lead us and be faithful to us. And if we're continually trying to just compensate that on our own, we really shut off the way that we could see and experience his faithfulness.
Oh, exactly. Perfectly put.
Yeah. Jean, we are down to closing words. I want you to share, what's the takeaway that you most want parents to hear today on this topic?
Oh, I think it would be important to know that God is aware of you and He is aware of your children's needs. And not only aware, but big enough and loving enough to step in and help us navigate it. We're not in this alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we haven't normally done this, but I'd like to close with a simple prayer today.
Sounds good.
Well, Father God, I thank you that we are invited to even refer to you as Father, mm-hmm. knowing the way that you love us as your children. And I pray for every parent that is listening today that they might find help and hope from you and experience your great faithfulness.
Mm-hmm.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
All righty. Thank you, Jean. Thank you, everyone. We will talk to you next time.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.